Today on The Journey.
So, Tunch, playing football all those years, I know you've heard the phrase, leave it all on the field.
Right. Don't save it for the dance.
Don't save it for the dance. So that's kind of what Paul's saying here, right, isn't it? You don't want the game to end with any excess energy
right
left.
When today, or for that matter, any day, is over, what will you have left to give? Will you reserve a little for yourself, or leave it all on the battlefield for Christ? That's the question Ron Moore and men's minister Tunch Ilkin examine in this broadcast. Listen so that you can re-examine your commitment to the battle. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. It reaffirms, from the book of Joshua, that God is in control and has great things for you to do. Strong and Courageous is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more about this inspiring resource later in the program. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest host for part two of their discussion, Under Attack, The Present, On the Journey.
Well, welcome to a special edition of The Journey with a good friend of mine, Tunch Ilkin, who played football for the Pittsburgh Steelers for 13 years, a year with the Green Bay Packers, 2 years All-Pro, now a color analyst for the Steelers Radio Network. Tunch, it's always a good time having you on here. Appreciate you doing this.
Great being with you, Ron. As always, it is a blessing.
Now, we've titled this series, Engaging in the Battle, and you're a pastor of men's ministry, and so we're addressing this to men. But let's just stop here a second.
Okay.
And we have, I know, a lot of women listening to this program. Why should a woman be listening to this series, Engaging in the Battle?
You know, it's interesting you said that because I was at a funeral last year, about 6 months ago, I guess, and a lady came running up to me, and she said, I just want you to know I've listened to your series that you have done with Pastor Moore on the attack on manhood, and I told my husband, you got to listen to these guys. And so he started going, and the guys in his men's group started to listen as well. So if we could be an encouragement to guys, that gets it for us, to get guys to follow after Christ. So it was great that a lady listened, and she told her husband.
We've said in this series that you need to know the battlefield you're on.
Right.
You need to know yourself, and you need to know your enemy. As a spouse,
right,
you also need to know your wife. You need to know your husband, and you need to know the things that they're going through and the challenges that they have.
Someone said, be a student of your spouse. Study them, know them. And so our job as men is to present our wives holy and blameless to the Lord. The mandate that God has called us to is to teach and encourage and to know them so that we may know how to pray for them, so we may know how to encourage them to draw closer to the Lord, and vice versa for women to their husbands.
Right. Yeah. Tunch, just for those listening, we are also videoing these and putting them on some video blogs.
Yeah, I'm going to take my glasses off.
So you can go to ronmoore.org and see those.
And you'll see that we both have faces for radio.
So we are talking to men and women about engaging in the battle. We believe there are three major battlefields: the battlefield of the world, the battlefield of the flesh, the battlefield of the devil. We have started with the world, and last time we kicked off this battlefield by looking at the Old Testament king named Hezekiah. Right. Tunch, just refresh our memories. What were some of your takeaways from that story?
Well, I guess the first takeaway was that Hezekiah thought he was going to die. And then Isaiah the prophet told him, God has heard your prayer. He has seen your tears, and he's given you 15 more years. And so Hezekiah does something very, very foolish. He invites the emissary from the Babylonians to come take a look at, hey, this is what we got here in the storehouses. We got this in the armory. I showed him everything. Isaiah said, what'd you do?
What'd you show him, Hezekiah?
Said, everything.
Everything.
And then when Isaiah tells him, you know what? They're going to take over and your descendants. And I was thinking, his grandchildren were going to be carried away as slaves and eunuchs, which is not a pleasant thought. And I guess the other thing that was when he just said, okay, that's good. And for someone who had been so strong for God, a man who did what was pleasing. When we first hear about Hezekiah, that's what God says about him. He did what was pleasing in the eyes of the Lord.
Then at the end, pride takes over, and it can happen to any one of us. I raise my hand.
Me too.
I am not exempt from that happening.
That's right. And if you go online, you can see us raise our hands.
I raise my hand too. So Hezekiah at the end says, well, you know, God's going to send some punishment. There's going to be some consequences, but at least it's not going to happen to me. And that's what the world says. Live for today, dating us now, but grab for all the gusto you
can
get. And we can easily get sucked into the world saying, seize the day. So last time we looked at Hezekiah. Mm-hmm. Today, let's look at a guy who didn't start out well, but God grabbed his heart.
Right.
And at the end, man, he is saying, I was poured out like a drink offering. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. If you have your Bibles and you're at a place where you can follow along with us, turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to start there. Just a reminder that the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Right.
He was an intellectual. He was a lawyer. He was a zealot. He knew God's word, and he hated Christians. And he was putting Christians to death and was on the road to Damascus. And somewhere on that road, God got his attention.
How cool is that? And actually, God does that to all of us. He interrupts our lives, as you like to say, and calls us out. You know, I remember it was February of 1982. God basically said, so you heard all about me. What are you going to do now?
Yeah,
and just very, very thankful for that.
And every conversion is a miraculous conversion.
Right.
So I can't take it when people say, oh, man, I have a boring testimony. No. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. If he called you to himself early on, praise God for that. That's not boring. He saved you from a lot of stuff.
Right.
Because we all know, as one of the writers said, the seed of every sin is planted right there in our heart. So we know, left to ourselves, what path we had the propensity to go down. And Saul thought he was doing the right thing. He was a zealot for Judaism.
Right.
And God interrupts his life. And then everything changes.
Right.
And I love to read about Paul, because just as passionate as he had been against Christianity, now he is sold out for Jesus Christ.
Right.
Well, let's look at Paul. Didn't start so well, but now here we are in 2 Timothy. It's the last book he wrote. He's writing from prison.
Right.
And you can just see him there, can't you? I mean, he's older now. He knows his life is at an end. And he's writing down words he wants these young pastors to know.
Yeah, I think about his last words. They're engraved in my head because I want to be that way. At the end of my life, I want to say, even now I'm being poured out like a drink offering. Mm-hmm. But I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. To be able to say that at the end of one's life, what a testimony that is to the life that you leave as you transition to the presence of Almighty God.
Let's think about that passage found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And again, Paul knows that his time on this earth is just about over. And he says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. What a vivid picture. So here's a cup. It has water in it. And it's being tipped over, and the water is being poured out of that cup. And Paul said, that's my life, man.
Right.
My life is being poured out of me. Time of my departure is near. Now, Paul had given his life to the service of Jesus Christ. It wasn't just about the present. I mean, he was willing to the very end to burn himself out. In this analogy, pour himself out.
Right.
Tunch, it bugs me when guys, they'll work hard all their life, and then they retire, and it's almost like they retire from the Christian life. Again, the world says, I've worked hard. I deserve now to head to
the beach. I'd go to the beach. I'm going to the beach.
The resort, play golf, the water, whatever. I deserve this. But you never retire, and here Paul is, man, I've been poured out like a drink offering.
Right.
The world says, it's all about now. It's all about the present. So live it up now and really enjoy these golden years. Scripture doesn't tell us that.
No. When you hear these words by Paul, it's not just the final verses of 2 Timothy chapter 4. You hear the intensity and the passion and the fervency in his voice. I mean, think about in Romans 9 when his love for his people, he would say, oh, that I would be cursed to hell, that the Jews would have salvation. I mean,
that's a statement.
When he said that, I was going, Ooh, I don't know. I could say, you know, I would give my life for those that I love.
But your eternity.
But my eternity. Wow. So when Paul says, my departure is near and I'm being poured out like a drink offering, mm-hmm. that's who he is. That's his life.
So since playing football all those years, I know you've heard the phrase, leave it all on the field.
Right. Don't save it for the dance.
Don't save it for the dance. So that's kind of what Paul's saying here,
right.
isn't it?
Yeah.
So talk about that. You play and you don't want the game to end with any excess energy
right.
left.
Right. You know, Ron, there's a feeling, win or lose, when the game is over and you are just so exhausted, you walk off the field and your resistance is down and a lot of times emotion comes out. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's something as dramatic as tears. Sometimes you hear guys say things. But the reason that you get that raw response is because you are totally spent. You have nothing left. And then win or lose, you walk off the field and you can, it's cliche, you can look at yourself in the mirror, but there is truth to that. I guess cliche is because they're true.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? You've spent it, and that's the imagery that Paul is giving us, that he spent, he is done. He's got nothing left.
But what about the guy who didn't leave it all on the field?
Yeah. Oh, there's guilt.
The guy that walks in the locker room and maybe the game was lost and he knows he did not give it his all.
Well, I've had guys confess that to me, that maybe they didn't prepare their all. And a lot of times, it may not necessarily be on Sunday, but it's the preparation up to Sunday. Mm. Guys that have made a lot of mental mistakes, and they'll say something like, maybe I should have mentally prepared. I need to start doing the extra stuff. Well, when people say, I need to start doing the extra stuff, that means that they haven't done it. And so you see that there is remorse over that.
Think about standing before Christ and knowing you've held back. You didn't give it your all. And I say that, and there's always something else we could do.
Right, right.
And all that. But there's an urgency.
Yeah.
There's a passion that we need for ministry. Mm-hmm. What are you saving up for? You want to spend it for Christ. And that's what Paul says. I'm being poured out like a drink offering. Then he says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, there's a statement about being engaged in the battle.
Right. It is amazing to me. Guys that are like that, you've seen it, the end of their lives, they're done. And you hear the testimonies, whether it's at the memorial service or, like you said, sitting around the coffee table at their house as you prepare to do their funeral. When you leave it out all on the field, there's a great joy with that. There's remorse if you don't. There's great joy when you do. And there is a satisfaction. I got nothing left to give. And I've done my best. And so there's this, maybe satisfaction is not the word, but maybe it's a contentment that I've done it. I've gotten to where I want to be.
Paul explains some of the things he did in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul was bold enough to say, I've worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. He's
right.
telling the Corinthians because they're actually criticizing him.
Right.
I've been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger of bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And then check this out. Those who are pastors will get this. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches.
Right, right.
There's that spiritual
yes.
part of it as well. Who is weak, and I don't feel weak. Who is led into sin, that I don't inwardly burn.
Yeah.
Man, Paul says, I have been engaged in this thing. I've left nothing back.
You know, the first time I read that, after I got through that passage, the first thing I thought was, wow, Paul's a stud. Tougher than woodpecker lips. And here he is. woodpecker lips? Yeah. You never heard that?
I've never heard that saying.
Never being from Oklahoma? Okay. That's a big Midwest thing. But you look at what he's been through to be flogged 5 times to the point of death, to be beaten, to be stoned.
And think of the scars on his back.
Right, right. Oh, wow. There's a book called, it's an old book, like it's from 1960s, called Robust in Faith. and it was great men of faith. And the chapter on Paul said the man who bore the brand. Mm. And he definitely did that. So there's the being naked, the humiliation. Mm-hmm. You see the physical torment, the challenge to keep moving, the humiliation of what that must have been like, and then the emotional and mental torment of worrying about the churches, all those churches that he started, and all the guys like Timothy and Barnabas and Titus and John Mark, all the people that he poured into. Wow, the heaviness of his life was pretty amazing.
Paul knew all about grace.
Right.
And he taught us about grace. And we know that it's only by the grace of God that salvation is a free gift to God. We cannot do anything to earn it. When Christ saves us, he not only continues to give us the grace, but he partners with us, right. And there are some things that he wants us to do. He expects some things of us, right?
Right.
So there's a discipline of that. Read that 1 Corinthians 9 passage about the way Paul describes how he disciplined himself.
Yeah, I love this. And obviously, as a guy who loves sports, and you and I both love sports, and we love the sports analogies, and Paul uses those sports analogies, and I love this. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I love this part. I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You know, when we used to run our sprints, we used to be very, very intentional. We didn't run aimlessly. We would run, whether it was the hundreds or the quarters or the 350s, we ran with a purpose. Every time we lifted, it had a purpose. Every drill, we didn't fight aimlessly against the air. I beat my body, I make it my slave. Listen, you're not going to make it through training camp if you don't go through the hour of running and the 2.5 hours of lifting and all the other drills that you do in March, April, May, June, and July. You don't get through training camp. You have to beat your body, and you have to, in essence, make it your slave. Chuck used to say two things. Number one, that if it was easy, everybody would do it. And the second thing he used to say is, will your body. Super Bowls are won now.
You know, some people take that verse that you just read and they literally take a flog and they flog themselves on the back. Paul's not talking about that. He's talking about the spiritual discipline that there's something we want to do. The world is calling us and it's alluring. It's tempting. It looks good. It would feel good. But we can't do it.
Yeah.
And we have to have the discipline in our life and the people in our life not to respond to the world's allure around us, because it is there. You know, sometimes Paul had people around him, and sometimes he stood alone. Listen to this passage at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, at my first defense, no one came to support me, but everyone deserted me. But then he says, may it not be held against them. But, verse 17, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. But the Lord stood by my side. You may be listening to this and you may be feeling like you're alone. You're saying, yeah, I hear Tunch talking about a huddle group. I don't have a huddle group right now, and I'm right in the middle of the battle. First, get with some other guys and get in a church and find some men to get around you. But you can't do that right now, so listen to what Paul is saying. Everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. So I want you to know that you may feel alone, but God is at your side. He will give you the strength you need. We always say he's going to give you everything you need to do everything he's calling you to do.
Right.
And he's going to stand there with you when everyone else deserts you, and pray that he'll lead you into not only that mindfulness of his presence, but also some guys around you that'll hold you up and keep you accountable, and all of you are moving at the same time in the same direction for the same reason. Paul says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Not only to me, Paul says, everybody else who longs for his appearing, everyone else who follows him.
God will be there. When we show up, God is there. It's not like God may or may not show up. God is there. So the onus then comes on me to make sure that I show up. Mm-hmm. I need to make my body my slave. Do I feel like getting up at 5:30 or whatever time you get up to spend your time with God? No, I'd rather sleep. Mm-hmm. But there is part of me that realizes that that's my time. That's the time that I'm going to get after. You know, everyone's different. Some in midday, some in the evening. Mm-hmm. But I know for me that if I don't do it early in the morning, I know enough about myself. Once again, know yourself, scout the flesh. I know mm-hmm. that's my time.
Chesterton said this: Christian life has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found hard and left untried.
Right.
And there are many times, and maybe some of you listening, you trusted in Christ, you started following him, and it got hard. Mm-hmm. And you checked out. Today we are encouraging you to get back in the game. As Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I had finished the race. It's time to finish the race. If you're just about ready to call it quits in your marriage, finish the race. If you're just about ready to have an affair, don't do it.
No.
Finish the race. If you're just about ready to make a very selfish decision, finish the race. I'm just about ready to enter into a shady business deal, fight the good fight, finish the race. Don't trade in that future crown for what the world says, take it now and take it all. But discipline yourself today in order to leave something for tomorrow. Tony, why don't you pray for us, and let's wrap up this time together.
Father, we're just so thankful for your love for us, your grace to us, and the mercy that you have just displayed in spite of our inadequacies and our sin. And we thank you, Lord, that you are there for us. And we thank you for the ministry of your word. And as we look at Paul's life and see his commitment to you, his love for you, his desire for others, Lord, cause us to be like him, Lord. Cause us to be that kind of man. Let us get to the end of our lives, no matter where we are today, no matter how much time we have left, no matter how badly we have blown it, cause us to come to a point where when we finish out, when we leave this world, we can say that we too have been poured out like a drink offering, that we have fought the good fight, that we have finished the race, that we have kept the faith. And we look forward, Lord, we look forward, forward, forward to the crown of glory that you have waiting for us when we leave this world. And Lord, we pray for the next generation. We pray that we would have that kind of impact on our wives, that we would have that kind of impact on our children, on the church, grandchildren, friends, family members, all, Lord, that our lives would be an outpouring of your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And please stay with us. Ron and Tunch return in a few moments with a look at our next time together. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assurance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story in his encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. In its reflections, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. A digital copy of Strong and Courageous is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron and Tunch for a preview of our next broadcast.
And the battle of obedience is hard.
Ooh, it is very tiring. And you know, a lot of times you are following hard after God and the world will whisper in your ear, it's really not worth it. What are you killing yourself for? And there are moments where you're just flat out tired. You just say, Lord, I can't do this. I don't have the energy.
And sometimes if we think it's all going to be easy and then the battle starts, we either say, I must not be a Christian, or I didn't get it, I'm missing something, or worse, God's not the God I was told about.
Right. I don't know anybody in Scripture that came out of it unscathed. And Jesus even says to his disciples, in this world there will be many troubles, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God never said it was going to be easy, but he did say it would be worth it.
We hope you can join us for that conversation next time. And please remember that a digital download of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Strong and Courageous, is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.